All right, I think we will get started here. I think we're actually a couple minutes late. It's a pretty sparse environment out there. So I think everybody should just cuddle in all the way down here. Let's cuddle intimate. Down here. Come on down.
Make an intimate meeting.
Oh, you want to see the pictures. All right. That's cool. Then you guys do what's comfortable.
Need a drive for you?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. My name is Michael Isaac. I'm the global lead for advanced analytics for Avanade.
Luke Pritchard. I'm the global data and analytics platform lead.
Ed Bobrin, global data analytics user experience.
So basically, we have all three global leads. We have a couple other ones, but you know, these are the important ones. We're going to talk to you today about how we, Avanade, have built customer solutions on the Cortana Analytics Suite. We have been involved with both the product through its development, the product engineering teams, but also building these solutions for customers on Azure for quite some time. So we're going to go into that. First, what we're going to do, though, is we're going to talk about our Avanade's analytics point of view. Quick question. How many people have total comfort and knowledge of who Avanade is? 1, 2, 3. It's about right. When I started at Avanade 8 years ago, I said it's the biggest consulting firm nobody's ever heard of. So we are a joint venture between Accenture and Microsoft, formed 15 years ago in 2000. Right now, I think we have 27,000 employees globally, 70 locations in 24 countries. And we're dedicated solely to the Microsoft platform. So we do Microsoft technology from the ground all the way up. Okay, so let's talk about our analytics point of view. It's really, really simple. The too long didn't read is you need to be able to prepare, not just react. Now, if you want to go into the real definition, it's a future-oriented analysis used to drive positive change and improve business performance. But that's boring. Prepare, don't react. That sticks in the mind a little bit better. So data mining, predictive analytics, simulation, optimization, using all the technologies, data lakes and Power BI, all this Cortana stuff, it's all about preparing for what's about to happen and not simply reacting to what happens. In order to do that, we have what we call the client journey. And the client journey really starts with the question of ROI. How is this going to benefit the business? What kind of dividend is this going to pay? What's the potential ROI, maybe spread out over quarters, over years, over different business units? What are the business metrics? And then we have, once we get that kind of figured out, then we'll go into a strategy where we do what we call iDays, innovation days, where we sit and we kind of talk to our clients and talk about the art of the possible. We do what we call a value experience workshop, where we actually do mini projects, where we use client data. We put it into our cloud platform, which we'll be talking more about in a couple minutes. And we provide value, and we do that in about a week. So the tagline for that is your data, your questions, 1 week. So we try to find very easy, simple, rapid ways to show value. So once we get the ROI kind of figured out and defined, and then we get the strategy kind of figured out and defined, then we have to figure out what the capability is. Do our clients have the ability to implement some of the analytic strategies we're talking about, or even ones that they may want? Are they mature enough to kind of handle it from a project management point of view? Are there gaps? How do we bridge those gaps? Once we figure all that stuff out, we do a roadmap, right? I mean, you've probably heard, consultants, that's bread and butter. We do roadmaps, right? So we do this roadmap where we take that gap analysis and we kind of go from A, B, C, D. We lay the steps out to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And we'll be talking a little bit more about where our clients are and where they want to be in a couple minutes. Then we do value acceleration. We try to figure out how can we get there faster. You've probably all heard that business changes faster then IT generally has the capacity to implement. A story that I have, I used to work at Oracle a long time ago, and we did a big data warehouse project. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. I mean, I remember we did the rollout of this pilot, and we had the whole printer, you know, the very wide printer sheets, and we rolled it out, and we're, you know, breaking our arms, patting ourselves on the back. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And the business customer looked at it and said, "This is great for what I needed 24 months ago. Thanks for coming. Project is now over." And that has really stuck with me. That was a long time ago, but that's really stuck with me. And I don't think, I think that still applies. So we try to accelerate value. Now, that's the business journey. We haven't talked about any technology really yet. We're talking about capability, we're talking about strategy, we're talking about assessment. And we have to go through that cycle, but we have to also do it and find the ways that technology can support that business journey. Now, what we hope you'll see in the rest of this presentation is that Cortana Analytics Suite and what we've built on top of Cortana really help accelerate both the business and the technology journey. So to give you one example, so let's say we do an ROI discovery and we find out, hey, this client really needs a predictive solution. Is it, maybe it's a churn model, or maybe it's, it could be anything. Let's just say they need a predictive solution. You don't have to do all of this stuff. In this example, we started with the value experience workshop. After we did the value experience workshop, we honed in on a set of business metrics. Then we figured out that they needed to shore up some core skills in order to get to that advanced analytics predictive modeling capability internally. So, you know, being consultants, that doesn't mean that we want to land 300 people and do a huge project. That's great if that's what's needed. But in some cases, it's just kind of figuring out where the gaps are and helping with that. So once we figure that out, what's the most important thing? Or what's the next important thing? Well, the next important thing really is separating signal from noise. Big data equals big noise. There's a lot of stuff in that data for your business question that you're trying to answer that doesn't matter. It's either uninterpretable, it's irrelevant, or it's interpretable, or relevant. So the next step is looking at all that big data stuff and trying to figure out what's interpretable, what's relevant, but then also what subset of interpretable and relevant provides your insight. Cortana helps you do that. So I think we are, I think this is a, I think it's a, yeah, Harvard Business Review slide. They coined the term Analytics 3.0 back in 2013. I just ran across that actually about a year ago. But really, if you look at where we are, I guess it does make sense to kind of push it into three different segments. The first, Analytics 1.0, business intelligence, right? Small data sets, structured data sets, internal sources. You're doing waterfall. You might do some agile methodology. Really foundational competencies of report writing, you know, ETL. And you might have back in the corner, tape on the glasses, pocket protectors, you might have those quants that you might talk about, right? You're like, you know, don't feed them after midnight, those kind of guys back in the corner. Then the era of big data came, and everybody's talking about huge data sets, unstructured data, internal and external sources. I talked to a CIO about a year ago, and we were talking about how we're going to do this agile methodology, and he stopped and he says, "Agile's too slow. You know, a two-week sprint, I can't wait 2 weeks. I need it yesterday." So you have all this big data, yet you have businesses that are moving so very, very quickly. How in the world can you rectify these two things? That's part of the challenge. And then I think Analytics 2.0 is where the idea of data scientists really became prevalent. When you started hearing about data science, you started hearing about how you can do predictive modeling. But now we're in what HBR calls...
Never went.
Pregnant pause.
That's still up on here.
Analytics 3.0. Let's do it really quick before it disappears again. Microsoft talks about ambient intelligence, building intelligence into systems that is just providing intelligence, providing insight side by side with other workloads. Vast data sets, varied data sets, multi-structured, streaming data, third-party data. Emerging competencies, right? We have to know as consultants and as IT professionals, we have to know new skills that we've never had to know before. How many of you have ever had to do a k-means, you know, non-data scientists, have ever had to do a k-means cluster? I mean, these are things that you have to know how to do it these days. And now the emergence of the citizen scientist, right? It's the Neil Analytics presentation. They call them the schmexperts, schmuck and expert, right? You got to be careful that you're not a schmexpert and that you're a citizen scientist, right? So most of our clients want to be in Analytics 3.0, right? There we go. That's where they want to be. That's what they hear about in the news. That's what Microsoft is telling them where they want to be. However, that's where they are. And actually, I'm being generous here. That's not really where they are. They're back in Analytics 1.0. The vast majority of clients that we talk to are in 1.0. But we didn't want to be mean on this slide. Now, that arrow is where you need to go. Now, can you do it with the technology? Maybe, if you have the maturity, maybe if you have the people, you might be able to do it. But generally, it's not just a technology solution to get to that next level. So we built what we're calling the Avanade Modern Analytics Platform, AMAP, because gotta love an acronym, powered by Cortana Analytics Suite. Not going to read everything about it, but in a nutshell, it is a 24/7 managed service that surrounds Cortana, the Cortana toolset, but it also houses things like data enrichment, data harmonization, pre-built models, and pre-built solutions on top. Okay? Now, why did we do this? You've heard other partners talk about similar solutions. And we did it for similar reasons, because in the traditional approach, you'd have to go up this entire stack. You have to set your strategy, like I talked about, buy the hardware, hire the people, figure out support, deliver your platform, then you have to figure out your experience, and then you have to say, well, is this an IoT workload? Is this a streaming workload? What is this? Then you have to do your data management, data governance, and then you have to do, okay, how are we going to enable self-service? And then we're going to say, well, what do we do for advanced analytics? And then we can get to the cool stuff. Then we can get to the insight. Well, we're lowering that bar all the way down to saying, set your strategy goals, right, and questions. That's, you got to do that. And then buy the AMAP managed service on top of Cortana. And all that other stuff, we've already figured out. Then you can just start answering, those questions. Very quick, very easy. All right.
Thanks, Mike. So what is it? What did we actually build here, AMAP, in the acronym here? And what you can see here up on the screen is we actually have a number of the components of Cortana Analytics. That is the core functional piece, and then surrounded by other Azure services that they have available. We've been doing this business for about 4 years, and we started in the IaaS world just like everyone else. But as Microsoft has evolved the products and Cortana Analytics, we've really embrace that, and we've made that the core of everything that we're doing. If you look at what, imagine, if you will.
It's up here.
Imagine
the world. Yes. Yeah. So we've spent a good amount of our time working with our clients, working through their use cases. What are the key challenges? What are they trying to get insight to? Cortana Analytics has really helped us facilitate that and move quickly. So we don't have a big infrastructure project. We don't have all this time trying to figure out how can we land the data and merge and mash it together. Through the Cortana Analytics Suite, there's a variety of tools in there that you can use to solve the common use cases that enterprises are having. You know, we've worked with different scenarios and data, you know, high velocity data. We've worked with batch data. There's different ways to bring it in and land that and creating the pipelines through that to hit their scenarios. And really, this gets into the business enterprise processes and business solutions that we can sell at scale so they have the confidence. The other piece of it, too, is there's all this noise and signal going on that Mike brought up earlier. And we've spent a lot of time on analytic models, what we call our standard analytical models here at Avanade. And it's really about mapping the analytics down to the data, making it less complex. How can we get started very quickly? I mean, it takes literally a couple hours and we're up and running, but we really can work through a number of those scenarios enterprises have end to end. And, you know, the type of analytics, is it hot analytics? Is it warm analytics? Is it cold analytics? cold analytics, and really embracing this end to end. I think downstream, as we get into the consumption side of things here, is not only can you see it, you know, such as tools like Power BI, DataXen, but also how can they embed this into their business process? How can we make this better? How can we make this more personal to the clients? And we'll get into some examples here, client scenarios that we have, and also some demos that actually exemplify that from our experience here. And we have a number of tools in here that allows us for data discovery. How can we look at our data, find some trends, and then build robust operationalized pipelines, and then make maximize the investment that they have that clients have in their Azure. Okay.
Meat and potatoes.
All right. Yeah. Business scenarios. All right. So one of the a business scenario that we're going to demo here, and I'll set up a framework here, and then we'll hop in between some other business scenarios that we have, is around marketing analytics. I think many of you have seen from Gartner, Forrester, and the different that really companies are trying to get down to that customer level, that single customer view. We've heard other partners talk about it. We've heard other presentations. This is a very common thing, and this isn't anything unlike what we hear as well. And why is it so important? Well, this is the mess they have to deal with here. They lots and lots of data silos. It could be in the cloud, it could be in the enterprise. IT managing it. Traditionally in marketing analytics, at agency, you have somebody that focuses on Google Analytics. You have somebody focusing on their clickstream data, whether it, whatever type of product that it might be. And really, as a line of business, as you think about investing in your campaigns, getting the ROI, where should I put my money into, where am I getting more information and insight into my client and giving them better recommendations, how can I keep them loyal to me? These things all really are a data-driven piece of it. And all these analytic tools that you hear where they want to be in 3.0, this is really what, with AMAP, the essence of AMAP with Cortana Analytics that we're trying to bring together. So for the marketing analytics demo, I'm going to just show a very just quick data flow architecture of what is it. We showed a lot of Microsoft products in there. But really, the core of it is we have pipelines. We have different types of data. In the marketing scenario, you have social that's available. You have, obviously, there's Google, there's Dynamics CRM, there's clickstream data, there's campaign data, but then there's also line of business data, whether from an ERP system, third-party data such as demographics, enrichment data. And then it gets into the data stores, or it gets into the transport into the data stores. And whether it's the velocity is fast and you need event hubs, or whether it's batch and it's sitting on-prem, Data Factory might be, or even there's other services in Azure that we worked with to bridge the networks of enterprises' on-premise systems to the cloud. And the variety of storage options and ways to match up the data. And where does this all lead out to? Well, that's the bottom, but we usually start up at the top, and that's just sitting down there. And so we have the models and outcomes. And so if they're looking for a sentiment model, next best action, what is the answer they're really trying to get to? And it really comes down to, in this marketing analytics scenario we'll show, is around the engagement, the customer, the campaign, and the product, and how those all intersect in what the organization's trying to do.
So this company, this financial services company, is a company in the UK. They acquired, I think, one or two companies. So they, of course, had a lot of disconnected data silos from that acquisition. But they also had a lot more stuff to sell. So they have disconnected silos of data. They have a lot more products. And the problem that they had was, well, how do we put those things together, firstly? And secondly, how do we approach customers with a value proposition that makes sense? Is there overlap in those products? They really had no idea. On top of that, the business still needed to run. They needed to increase their market share in both their life and their general insurance business. So what we did is we built three interconnecting solutions. And I think, if you think about solutions, they generally should interconnect, and they should probably have a data component as well, right? So One of the things we talk about in the new digital world is digital equals data. So whenever you build a solution and you're not figuring out what you're going to do with the data and how you're going to leverage it as an asset, you should probably spend a little bit more time in the corner thinking about that. It's pretty important. So we built a data warehouse. We have a CRM data going into that. We're looking at a single customer view, right? The single view, the 360-degree view of the customer. This is a hybrid implementation. The foundation was on-premise. We had some data going into the cloud, some scoring going on in the cloud, in the Azure cloud, and they want to integrate IoT. As a matter of fact, this is outside of London, and I was there for a meeting, and I was talking to the CIO who was on a video conference from someplace north of there. And I'm just talking, and he goes, hey, what's that on your wrist? I said, oh, yeah, it's my new Microsoft Band. I just got this. This is like early this year. And he goes, I have one too. Our executive committee just said, go buy a bunch of those and figure out this IoT thing. And I said, well, what does that mean? Figure out this IoT thing. He says, I have no idea what that means. I don't know. I just know that we have to do something around this IoT thing. I said, well, we have this platform called AMAP. We've already figured out that workload. We can stream it in. We have the device. We have all this stuff. He's like, wait, you have that? I mean, it's really Cortana. We just put the other managed services around it, right? Yeah, we have that. Well, how long is it going to take? How about 5 o'clock p.m.? I could have it up and running for you today. He's like, thank you. Do it. Next topic. It was that easy. That easy. So what did they do? With this CRM data warehouse hybrid data? Well, they got a 40% increase in their life product revenue, a 30% increase in their general product revenue, and 25% campaign over campaign lift in this first project, just the first project. A single view of the customer, we're still working on that, and we have an analytics workbench. So then let's talk about this next one too. This is a telecommunications company here in the States. They do voice, text, data. And they wanted a modern data platform, and they wanted enterprise analytics, and they wanted better visualization capabilities. They didn't have a mobile strategy whatsoever, especially in analytics. And they really couldn't deliver insight in any form factor to their users. So what we boiled it down to, after we did a pilot, we did a visualization pilot with these guys using DataZen. They looked at that and they said, this is exactly what we need. Now let's go to the next step. So remember, on the journey, we did ROI and then strategy and assessment, right? We did that exact same process here. And at the end of that, they said, let's figure out data integration. We kind of honed in on data integration. We built a data lake. We hardened and matured the sales and marketing work that we had done, modernized the data architecture with the data lake and some other pieces we used Hadoop. And then we started with a mobile-first thinking. So whatever you do, bring your own device. Be able to use it everywhere. So we can, the internal stakeholders were happy. They saved money. A big deal, they trusted the data. I've delivered projects where, again, I thought it was amazing. And if you fumble the rollout in any way, the users don't trust the data, like, that's not how I calculate this. That's a really hard process to kind of get that back in good graces, right? So the self-service capability was great. All right, that's a telecommunications company.
All right, so another one, a global mining company. We actually did an IoT scenario with them, and here we actually have some architecture around it. But essentially the issue that they were having is they were generating a sheer amount of sensor data off their equipment. They weren't doing anything with the data per se. It was generating it, but they weren't collecting it anywhere. But these sensors represented, you know, the failures in the equipment. There's also warnings that come up in the equipment, but they weren't really doing anything with the data. And that data actually, if you actually took a look at it at a point in time, it had some interesting characteristics where you could start using that to predict out, you know, when is a piece of equipment going to fail? Maybe I should generate a work order. Because what was happening was they're just generating work orders based on time, not necessarily based on the data of what that piece of equipment was doing. Mm-hmm. And so the solution we came up with is using Cortana Analytics and our AMAP platform. We gave away through Event Hubs and and some of our pipelines here to collect the IoT data and give them a cheap commodity storage so they can start collecting the sensor data over time. They could start discovering in the data what trends could I use to predict with Azure ML and then for predictive maintenance. And from there, then they would go end-to-end in the workflow and then tie in their data from the ERP system and the work orders to optimize that process as well and have more using predictive analytics to actually generate the work orders and to actually target what those fixes were. So rather than bring like a semi-truck full of parts to go do the maintenance, they can come down in the van with the part they needed. The key benefits that they found through this is it actually was really fast to get up and running to do the data discovery and start finding trends. Their first question was, does this sensor data even have value? Can we even use it? Working through that data and going through our journey with the client, we were able to start finding value and being able to tie it back to some of their to their asset management and their ERP systems. So we're able to land the data, we're able to land the other data, start pairing that together, do predictive analytics, and then taking it down to the next step, and really using the whole stack of Cortana Analytics here. They're able to reduce their costs, make better decisions, have better control of their inventory, and really it just increased the agility of their business. And with the mining industry and commodity market going down, it came at the right time.
That's right.
Okay, and I think we have one more. This is an academic institution. Actually, the guy that did most of this work is sitting here, so if we'll may have to point you out here afterwards. But this was an academic institution that wanted to get smarter and more industrial about how they provided insight on water usage and water billing. And this was a combination of using existing R scripts that they had on-prem that were, needed to be rolled out in a more industrial way. And this was using Excel Online, it was using Power Map, it was using Azure. This is one of the examples of one of the reports. We have a heat map. Here's some of the Power Maps talking about. I think this is Wells, Jake? Yeah, Wells, and looking at the intensity. And then this one is actually one that I think is a pretty interesting one. So if you look at the graph, consumption versus effective dollar, you'll see that the less water you consumed, the more you paid for that. And I think that curve should probably be the other way around, right? So this is one of those really simple insights when you put a bunch of data into an R model and you visualize the results. You may have to go searching for that insight, like you've probably heard a couple times. And sometimes the insights come out and smack you right in the face. And this was a really evident insight. People that use the less paid the most per unit. And that kind of goes contrary. This was done in California during the drought. And you would think to kind of reverse a drought, you might want to change that, right? So just really, really interesting. So what they did here was the ability to create that type of enhanced insight, but in a really scalable and a standardized way. And then, of course, they saved some money doing it. So let's... let's do some demos.
Let's do that.
You doing some demos? What are you doing back there?
Yeah, go to the next slide.
Oh, go to the next slide.
Right. Yeah, I'll
introduce it.
All right, okay. Yeah,
we'll have Ed here do some demos. And just to refresh on the architecture here and to show what Ed is about to show here on the screen. So this is actually up and running. So it's not that we just created a Power BI and we made up some data in Excel. There's actually data pumping in that we have coming from a number of different sources. And it's based on a number of our client use cases to bring it in end-to-end to really show the scale of what you could do with Cortana Analytics and AMAP. But then also visualize what could you do with this technology and where how can they get to Analytics 3.0, and really it shows the integrated end-to-end Microsoft stack that really no one can compete with.
It's weak. Yeah. We're down.
Yeah, we never lose visual, but it seems to lose its connection there for some reason.
And with that, we'll show visualizations with no screen.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So let me set up the use case that we'll talk about in the demo. It's nice to talk for once.
I feel like I've been the mute
part of the demo. So we're going to go through the Avanade Marketing Analytics solution, which is based on Ultiva Motors, which is a motorcycle manufacturer and retailer, right? And they're like many retail companies, right? They're trying to find the right mix for their advertising campaigns. So they're running three specific campaigns. They target three different audiences. One is, and three different goals really specifically. One is about an overall brand awareness campaign. One is around a product launch. And one is around a specific community involvement and trying to raise brand awareness in a specific location, right? So they've gone to a variety of different channels and outlets to try to gain some positive brand sentiment and awareness. And they're using AMAP and Cortana Analytics Suite to look at a lot of different data sources, including clickstream data, sentiment data from Twitter, revenue data, AdWords page search data as well, to start to understand the effectiveness of those campaigns, right? Part of the analytics demo will include social, like I indicated, and this is kind of the architectural overview of what sentiment analytics looks like on AMAP. In this specific example, we're ingesting tweets, right? So we're using a Twitter API, using an Azure web app, pulling that data in to ingesting it into an event hub, which is immediately going to Azure ML and being scored and streamed back to Power BI and also back to storage options in HDFS and HD Insight and aggregated in Azure SQL for the ability to have a business user look at data that's really hot streaming data versus, you know, data that's been collected over time, the cold data from HD Insight and everything in between. So with that said, we'll switch over to go to duplicate. All good. So what I thought I would do to start with is play the role of the marketing business user. So I'm in Power BI now, and I'm looking at a dashboard. It has nothing to do with marketing. But I know that the organization has published the Avanade Marketing Analytics components in an organizational content pack, which is a feature in Power BI. So I know to get access to it, I simply hit the Get Data button, click on my organization, and I can see the content pack out there, Avanade Marketing Analytics. And that's a packaged up set of assets that includes the marketing analytics dashboard, social sentiment, as well as some other consumer and demographic data that I can use to help me make better buying decisions, right? So now that I've kind of pulled into that content pack, we can see on the list of dashboards, the yellow stars here. We have marketing analytics, we have the consumer spend data, we have some sensor and IoT data and streaming sentiment analytics. So if I click on the marketing analytics dashboard, see how well that fits in my screen here. I'll try to make it fit the best I can. Maybe go
that's
just...
okay, it's gone. So
it's gone anyway?
There we go.
Imagine if you will.
Imagine if you will. Come on.
Lines, squiggles, and clusters.
Yes. Called it.
Lines, squiggles, good guess.
Yeah.
So here you're seeing the main marketing analytics dashboard. And if you look at this this dashboard in kind of three distinct sections. So if I highlight the left-hand side, I'm looking at metrics that are pulling data from paid search and ad spend and figuring out what my average cost per click is using paid search data, right? What's the amount of clicks I'm getting per campaign? Looking at what site referrals I'm getting from those impressions from that paid search. And from that site referral, how am I seeing clickstream data be affected, right? If I'm getting a referral from a paid search, is it taking the consumer to the configurator where they're building their own motorcycle? And if they are taken to that page and they actually complete a build, I've achieved my goal from a paid search point of view. And I'm looking at those metrics to see how well those buys are performing. And I can continue down a little bit. If I scrolled a little bit lower, I can look at bounce rate, goal conversions, as well as sessions and page visits. If we look at the center section, we're focused in on the impact of campaign performance on revenue, right? One, how many ads am I placing in different markets or different channels? So television, radio, print, internet, and what's the impact on revenue, right? So I'm tracking those leads through the door, and there's a lot of different variety of methods in which companies go through determining whether there was an ad impact or a campaign impact on revenue. Obviously, we take into account what customers' individual nuances are around those algorithms, but in this example, we're showing a 16% lift overall across all campaigns, and I can take a deeper dive in and look at each campaign individually. Again, I can look at site referrals and configurations, page visits, the completed product configurations. So I have 18,000 completed product configurations for my campaigns, right? People gone in and built a motorcycle. And if I can look and see, was it the campaign that was specific to a product, or was it the general awareness campaign about Ultiva Motors? If we look on the right-hand side, we're looking at more hot data, right? So if we look at the top row, and hopefully with a little bit of time and motion, we can see that I'm looking at streaming tweets. So as I have campaigns running, I have specific hashtags called out in those advertisements, whether they're print or television. And people, as they tweet, were searching the Twitter API for those specific hashtags. And I'm looking, since my last ad run with a hashtag, how many tweets have I gotten that were specific to the search criteria I'm looking for, and I've gotten about 212,000. And then I'm looking at the last 3 minutes, and typically there's a process as you go through AMAP and you move that data through those different components of the architecture, you'll see that number change over time as I talk. It's not as real time, snap your fingers. I'm looking at data in the last 3 or 4 minutes.
There we go.
There's 24 tweets.
Right on cue.
The other measure in the top right, the idea here is to show not only streaming data, but also IoT data. How is IoT relevant in the marketing analytics? Well, I have brick and mortar stores as Ultiva Motors, and I want to be able to track clients in and out of my building. So I could be using IoT to track the location services in a cell phone if they've opted in for my mobile app, and I can see when they're actually visiting the store, right? And if they've responded to a campaign ad, another beautiful, I can track that in real time with IoT sensor data streaming into Power BI. And when this wakes up again, we'll continue. Okay, so if we look down the right side, we continue with the streaming data. We can actually look at sentiment, because by hour, by day, I think everyone understands what sentiment is. We're using Azure ML to score that data in real time as it comes in. And we can look at that data by campaign, by hashtag. We can categorize our social customers by their influence, right? Whether they're newbies or change agents, how many followers and what kind of reach they have on Twitter. How is my campaign getting out to the general public through the people that are brand fans of Ultiva Motors? And of course, I can drill into this data more specifically. If I drill into the dashboard and launch into Ultiva Motors, I have 3 or 4 different pages that speak to each of those categories of the different data sets I collect for Avanade Marketing Analytics. So I can look at, again, the ad, my spend on television and internet, the actual channels that I use. For example, if I look at the Bay Riots campaign, I just select that campaign, I can see my distribution of my spend, what the investments were on specific channels, how many configurations that I get completed through that campaign. I had over 5,000 people build motorcycles in the campaign around the Bay Area, right? Maybe I want to dive in a little deeper about that. I can look at site referrals, and I can also take a different look at things. If I'm the buyer, if I'm the campaign or marketing buyer, and I want to make another decision around spending advertising dollars in the Bay Area, I can switch over to the consumer spend and demographics dashboard, where I've collected demographic data on all of the buyers, the people that spend money on motorcycles in the Bay Area. So I can see overall in the data set that I have that there's, in 2014, that's the data set I have, $96.47 million spent on motorcycles in that particular geographic area. And I can dive in, I can understand how many people are just buying them outright versus financing. So I can start to understand a little bit about the buyer profiles. And I can see through Azure ML the correlation between those people that spend money on motorcycles and what other things they spend money on. They tend to like small appliances, and they like to clean their motorcycles, and they buy a lot of household equipment. Interesting mix of things. But I can dive into that a little deeper and start to filter out. Maybe I want to look at people with a certain level of income, or I want to look at a certain size household and start to filter out on where I should be placing ads. If I'm thinking about billboards, if I'm thinking about print, where should I be placing those ads? And I can use some of these demographic filters and do some discovery to help my ad buys. Of course, we can also feed some of this into an algorithm and use Azure ML to recommend those buys as well. Okay, how am I doing?
You're good.
We're good?
Yep. 15.
15. I don't know if I can stretch this for 15.
Yeah.
At least some question and answer time. So I switched over to the sentiment analysis dashboard. So similar to what we just saw in the tweets as part of the overall marketing dashboard, can expand that analysis on sentiment a little deeper. So here I can see a little bit some additional information around those campaigns. I have three campaigns. We can see overall, I've already pulled in over 30 million tweets since I've started tracking this, right? We saw the real-time tweets coming in. That's the hot data. But I'm collecting all of that data up in the cloud, in Azure Blob, on HD Insight, so I can look at what my overall trend has been over the course of several months. And we have our plan delay and break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, we can look at things by day of the week. In this case, instead of looking at actual tweets, I'm looking at reach. Reach being, you know, the number of followers that the people that are tweeting my hashtags have, and we can calculate a reach through some formulas for that. We can look at overall sentiment. We can start to look at not only hours of the day, but the length of what people tweet. Do they tend to say more when they're happy, or do they tend to say more when they're unhappy? I find that people tweet more negatively on Monday morning than they do on Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not
Shocking.
Surprised. but it's pretty interesting when you see some of that. And then we can track our ad spend here as well, so we can continue to dive deeper strictly on social sentiment. Let's go back to the marketing analytics dashboard. Let me stop here while I'm in the Power BI piece and have this specific demo up and ask if anyone has questions on what I've shown so far before we get to a kind of a general Q&A. One question?
This is all extremely impressive, and it's coming from multiple data sets. You've got Twitter streams here, you've got your ad revenue. What was the level of effort with something like even the first general concept together?
Well,
is that a fair question?
Oh, yeah, it's a very fair question.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you speak to the data acquisition effort. I can speak to the visualization effort.
So. Yeah, on the data.
Sorry, you want to repeat the question?
Sure.
Let's see if I can remember what he even said. Something along the lines of a lot of data, you're pulling it in. Just wanted to know if you could comment on the level of effort it took to acquire and stream all of those sources and then to put together the visualizations, even the first generation, not necessarily the end product, because there's a lot of love there. So,
yeah. So, great question. So on the data acquisition, I think in this particular scenario, you always have finding the data, and that's why we have our whole journey piece of it. In this scenario, we're taking some of our experience. So in terms of getting it up and running, the platform, a lot of the data pipelines we had were brand new, so it took a little bit longer. So that's part of what we offer in Avanade Modern Analytics Platform, is putting together those pipelines. Once the pipelines are in, you get down to, days in terms of getting them up and running at most. To get the platform all up and running and then starting to add the pipelines on, that takes about hours. So it's a fair enough question. If you're starting off from scratch, there is definitely more effort because you have to think through how are you going to go through each of these data pipelines for this type of data that you're working with. And in the marketing analytics scenario, we've done this, we have some experience doing this, and so as Avanade, and so as a result, it's for us to put this together is actually pretty short. It wasn't months, it wasn't weeks, it was more in the days time frame, and it was more about getting it collected, finding what data we're going to go use.
Yeah, I think on the visualization side, it's been an interesting journey because the capability of Power BI, right, has been maturing, I'll say month by month, if not more frequent than that over the past 6 months, right? So all for the better, gets easier and easier every time there's an iteration. But one of the interesting things that I found is that, you know, we didn't have all the data pipelines at the outset, right? We started with the social piece, right? Then we were able to build the pipeline for Clickstream and build the pipeline for AdWords or paid search. And one of the benefits of the platform is not having to stop and rebuild everything from scratch, right? So one of the reasons I started by showing you a deployment in a content pack was that content pack was a one click, but I got, you know, three different dashboards and a bunch of reports and many data sets all supporting all of those things. I didn't have to tear down, build everything new because I got a new data set in the mix. I was able to model specifically, bring on the dashboard data from different places, which you observed very easily, but the data sets where they live, they can be very separate. They have some relationships that make sense to be shown together. So it's a benefit of the platform not to have to tear down every time you add a new pipeline of data. I think the challenge on the visualization side is certainly on the discovery side, before you start building what you're going to put in the dashboard, is trying to find those relationships between each of those data entities. Because in the marketing world, it's not always that clear cut. Like, you know, how did they get to this spot? You know, was it related to campaign A or campaign B? That's not always very clear cut, and that's a bit of a challenge. You have to be able to deal with a little bit of the unknown and do some discovery first. But in terms of actually building the visualizations, I mean, the tool's maturing and it's getting easier and easier to be more descriptive, change colors. I mean, if you looked at this dashboard 2 months ago, it would all been green. Right? So it's just getting easier to convey messages because the tool's maturing as well. So.
And as the tool matures, I can project. I'll get the microphone, sure.
Sorry, I'm going to continue the theme here of the questions. Yeah. So as the tool is maturing, and it looks like you're using the web browser interface, and I don't know if this is your preferred avenue, if you built it with a desktop application, but as the tool is maturing, you're taking months and months to build this as well, and the tool behind the scenes is maturing. How has that experience been? Have there been road bumps? Have they generally positive?
Yes, so I could probably answer that. So I think part of it's on the visualization on Power BI, but it really comes down to how you use the underlying infrastructure of Cortana Analytics and the data pipelines. So we have a innovation lab that I run, and we're working with all the releases that they're doing, and we have a very fast, innovative way of bringing this into our AMAP platform. So as Cortana is rapidly, to Joseph's point, progressing, we're progressing with it, and we're working, you know, with Microsoft to keep this going, and this extends out onto the Power BI as well. It's just, I would say, in the end, you know, each area is getting innovated on. And Ed could probably say, you know, you were.
Well, that's your initial part of your question, built in the desktop and then published, because they're, depending on the data source, you can or cannot model in the web client yet, so you kind of, a lot of times, need to live down there in the desktop. We always consume what we could from the service so that refresh can happen more readily. But the process of going to desktop to service has become much easier in the last couple of iterations of Power BI. Even the contact pack changes, I just made changes to the dashboard, of course, like 2 hours before we're gonna meet, and it told me, hey, this is part of a content pack. You need to refresh your content pack. You just changed the dashboard. And it was really like 2 second quick process to redistribute that to anybody who was consuming that data. So hats off to Microsoft for making this progress so quickly in a positive way. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Okay, so I'm sure I have the
human. That went up in the corner.
What challenges have you seen with building role-based views of this dashboard?
Well, yeah, so I know
not every data source that's part of this can be role-based, right? Based on where it's being stored, mm-hmm. right? So obviously things like revenue data that's going to be more closely guarded from a financial point of view is going to probably be in a data store that's role-based, right? And,
right.
and being on the platform, we're going to leverage Azure and Tabular to be able to handle role-based, but the other data sources, we're challenged with that right now.
Okay.
Anything to add? I think that's pretty much what the way where the product is at this point from a platform perspective.
And I think that's a part that's just increasing as feedback comes in to Microsoft. So it's, yep.
One more question over here. You guys built this out with a customer you were working with hand in hand, correct? Or did you guys just build this and then bring it to the market?
So it's actually multiple clients.
Yeah.
And we took the best of each client and brought it together here. Because we, with our clients, we can't take their data or, we got to protect their privacy on a number of our enterprise clients.
Which is why you didn't see any client names here.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then are you, and your plan is now to take this so that you can take this to any shop as a kind of a software as a service kind of offering, correct?
That's correct.
Got it.
Correct.
Perfect. Yeah, and then you'll take, so just to be clear, you'll take this offering, but then also you come into a shop that maybe doesn't touch this, you could build something up from scratch. You could go either scenario.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's just as important to understand there's a standard model that this is based on. Right, so we're trying to leverage that standard as much as possible, and of course we'll leverage and tweak that as we need to for clients as we go.
And we've done we're doing in other areas. This one covers in marketing analytics, but in retail we've covered in sales analytics. We've done some stuff in insurance, oil and gas, and we have a different scenarios and harvesting back what we learned from our client experience here. And the one thing is in an enterprise, everybody's a little bit different, so you have to be able to show that subtle difference. You're not going to have one that's, just the perfect box. Everybody has different requirements. And that's probably the beauty of this, is what we've done here in Innovative, making it very rapid, is to be able to handle those changes so they can start getting insight, start collecting the data, and start doing something of value that resonates with that enterprise.
You guys have anything to close with?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks everybody.
Thank you.